sudden I'm naked and I'm running back to the castle. Oops. But I'm so chaste and I still have on my weird garlic cross thing. Hilarious.
Yeah. It's like if you wanted to encapsulate the like vampire genre into like beep, like one little pinhole, you're like, there you go, there it is, beautiful woman attacked by bats, the ripper clothes off, sold.
Welcome to Horror Movie Survival Guide, Disco Citizens, the podcast where gorehounds
and best friends Terry Gamble
and Julia Marchesi break down a different horror movie each week,
exploring a multitude of genres, subgenres,
and sub-subgenres,
classic and cult,
international
and underground flicks alike, determining which films are the goriest
and offering up horror movie survival guide tips
to help you stay alive.
Disco Citizens is the most beautiful time of the year. It's our favorite round of films. Terry, what round are we in?
It's the most wonderful time for lesbian vampires. Oh my gosh. Yes, our favorite sub-sub genre. Oh, Julia, it is our birth month, Sierra's birth month. It is the whole team here at Horror Movie Survival Guide. We're celebrating.
Ugh, what better way to celebrate than with beautiful ladies kissing with blood covered all over them.
Honestly, so, and this one especially, Julia, I'm so excited. Yeah. This is one of my 2B. The algorithm has just been giving me these for like months, and this is one of my favorites. I cannot wait. What are we talking about this week, Julia? Can you tell the kids?
Yes, we are talking about 1973's Vampire Ecstasy, aka The Devil's Plaything. Tagline for this one: pleasures that fire the flesh, horrors that freeze the blood. Excellent. Two thumbs up for that tagline. Well done. Very well done. This was written and directed by Joseph W. Sarno. When you open into a hot lady ritual topless cult, opening right away, like, well, sold.
You knew you had me at cult, right? Like, as soon as you see them in like ceremonial garb with like body paint on their bodies, and they're all drinking from like a ceremonial gold goblet or chalice of some sort, and they're wearing gauzy little capes and just boobies out, I was like, oh, you're starting here? Oh, okay, I see you, film. If you were starting right here. And yeah, it is gorgeous.
It's really like any horror movie, right? Where you know like where the starting point is. Oh, this is the starting point. We're going to get bigger from here.
Yeah.
Right? So a lot of horror movies have that big opening kill scene. And I feel like this serves the same purpose, to be like, oh, okay, they're going this hard right out the gate.
And there's no words, mind you, for the first 7.5 minutes of this movie, almost 8.5 minutes, honestly. It's all vibes, just sexy, sexy, sexy vibes and drum music and like undulating dancers. And that is all we are getting. Even when we have our like one of our protagonists like get off a train and meet a man with a horse and buggy, like a couple horses and a buggy, she doesn't say a word. Like, it's like, I love this. This is so great. It's like that moment where you're like, come over, don't say a word, just show up, be here, someone will pick you up. Okay. Oh. Okay, honey. Okay.
Yeah, and we have our cult leader lady who is given all the ladies the touches they need, and then they have she picks one of them, and they have a giant stone phallus that is very, very, very big, that looks very, very big, and they have a little party. They have a party.
You know, sometimes you're going to have a little, like, I don't know, popping fresh. I don't know why I said that, but it just made me think of like each one of them, like it was just a moment. And they're just getting heated with each other. And it just reminded me a little bit, this is like so random too, but like of like Laughing, like the girls like kind of dancing all kind of crazy to the music and stuff like that. That 1960s kind of shimmy shake that some of them are doing, it makes me laugh so hard. And I just, it's delightful. It's absolutely delightful.
And that they have the like the 60s, even this is 70s groovy, the body paint on them and the whole bit. And we have our new fodder who has to come in to be destroyed, including the biggest shout out, the girl who shows up in the 1930s fitted gangster suit with the blonde hair. Whoa, I was not prepared. That was some fucking
You're welcome,
flash.
Julia. You're so welcome. I mean, this whole movie, as soon as I think I texted you the moment this popped in my algorithm one day, and I was like, Julia, this is the best one. And I think it's because of the outfits at the very beginning of this movie as well. And then also we get this amazing housekeeper who, was she the high priestess that we may have just seen in that ceremony? Fräulein Krug. And all of a sudden, austere black, and it feels like the opening of Rocky Horror, where it's like yeah. They're at the church. And I was like, you are more than meets the eye, dear people. You are double dealing here, giving us fully different, like, I'm a chaste little virgin kind of vibes on the outside, but the eyes are just knowing as she, like, pierces through you and undresses you with her eyes.
So they have the three girls who are coming here to stay. They are direct descendants of a baroness or her sister Ulla, and they each had a female child who was raised by Ulla after the baroness's death, but they don't know which one. And speaking of Rocky Horror, now we have the couple's car who gets wrecked in the mountains. They have to go up to the big castle on the hillside where there's nobody else there. So this movie gets points for many reasons. One of them being that this does what no movie has done in my 45 years of movie watching, has never happened, where you have a brother and sister named Peter and Julia, which is my brother and me. And that's never happened before. And I was like, yes, I've been waiting my whole life for that to happen.
And then the storyline, and you're like, oh.
I know. I was really excited. And I was like,
Yeah.
But that being said, off the top.
Yeah. I did cheer. I was like, oh, how cute. Then I was like, oh, and I also love that not only are they Peter and Julia, but Julia is a doctor. So he's like, oh, yes, I'm Peter. And she's just like, oh, I am Dr. Malenka. And you're like, oh, she's badass. She's not only like cool, but like making sure they know like she's a learned woman.
Of course. It seems suspicious that they ended up there. Maybe they were on their way there. We don't know. Would they really crash?
I think it's a little like, again, like Rocky Horror, where it's a little bit on purpose, where you're like, they scouted you. You were drawn to the castle.
Do you
for
think
a
so?
Reason.
I've never really asked you that question. Do you really think that Brad and Jenna just hadn't, just like it was not planned? I always assumed it was just not planned.
Oh, I think it's planned. I think they.
You think it's
them.
Planned?
Yes.
I think because they kind of like ruined his big, like it was supposed to be his big celebration weekend and he had it all planned. And then these fucking outsiders came in and kind of ruined it with Rocky.
Exactly.
But he didn't want to share Rocky with anybody. I don't know about that.
I don't know about the Frankenfurter part, but I think because I think the freaking Riff and Magenta were like ahead.
Riff Raff.
I think they planned it.
Okay. I see that.
Because they're at the wedding and they're like, yeah, and they're doing this and they're like, they're the ones and that's who they're going to crap. They're trapped. That's why they're in the beginning, right?
Okay. Yeah, okay. I got it. So also shout out to Nico Wolf, who plays Peter in this movie, because he is perfect. Like I would like to look at him for the rest of my life. So
he's a Julia boy, as I can say. He's a perfect Julia boy. Like he's got the perfect haircut. His little outfit, the way he looks in your eyes, like with that sweet little longing, the way he falls in love so fast each time. A dear heart.
So Julia suspiciously is studying folk traditions around. So they are in Romania. They're over, and that's her specificity in school. So they can, at night, they can all hear the sex ritual happening down in the basement. And it affects them all sexually.
Well, they don't just hear it, they feel it. So that's the most important thing. It's like, and I love the eyes that they're doing, because it's like, you don't know maybe what she was doing in the scene. Like, I doubt the actors got to see what she was doing to them. But the way she acts like she, like the high priestess, her eyes look like she's like watching them, even though she's not in the room with them. It is so great to me. I'm just like, oh. You can feel it. You can feel her eyes on you right now. You can feel her calling you. You can feel all of that. She's magic. So anywho, yes.
She is magic. And she has, I mean, I guess like is the ultimate goal to just get more and more women to join the cult? Is that the goal?
Well, their goal is to find the heiress, right? And find the Baroness heir so that they can revive the vampire, right? Because she's been wandering around.
Right.
That's the folktale. We're going to get more exposition as the movie goes on here and there, which I love. I'm like, oh, exposition moment, because mostly it's just them vibing, like most of the movie, and just like, you know, undulating and dancing and all that kind of stuff. But when we get the information, it's...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just saying that... So I guess the Baroness, like when she got burned, I guess back in the day was what happened to her when they realized she was a vampire and she was impaling all the girls like in the village. And so they didn't stake her. She got burned. So since she was burned, her spirit just floated out of her body and like is floating around. It was basically waiting for the right time to reemerge in one of her heirs. So these women, these priests.
Which is interesting because fire almost always kills.
Yeah.
But the priestesses have been waiting loyally, faithfully, Renfielding for centuries.
Forever. And they've been passing it on. You know, they're like, okay, we've been waiting for this moment. So these girls have all been raised. And these are like the remnants of the village, I guess, left. And those who are still kind of, I think, connected in some way, either like familial lines or something to the castle. And they talk about, you know, like it was death by impalement and all this stuff by the Vagas. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Having a hot group of women being your Renfield cult is pretty rad. I would just like to say that kind of wins. You can't beat that, right? You're like, oh, it's like, you know, seven gorgeous women who are just gonna writhe around and think about me. That's pretty good.
And just like ready at any moment, these ladies, they're just like, yeah, we're hot for you all the time. But Julia is already suspicious, which is great, and she gives Peter a garlic necklace, a little crucifix to wear that she's made. In fashion, she's like, we, you know, need to be careful here, wear this in protection. And so she also is wearing one, too. So garlic, the only thing really threatening these people.
Yeah. And I don't normally see crosses made of garlic, although it doubles the power of it. So why not?
Yeah. Double trouble.
Might as well dunk it in holy water, crumble some communion wafers on top and just make it like a quadruple threat. Right.
Hey. Sounds like lunch. Like I was like, I just had some garlic toast and some soup. I don't know.
Yeah, just not.
I would eat
good.
It. So, I would eat it.
So they turned out that they're deciding that the they're going to be Monica and Helga, two of the girls, are going to be sharing the castle. They get it split down the middle, but they have to stay there for 1 year. Is the caveat. So now they have this castle, and which it's kind of sort of. Is a ploy. I don't feel like none of them are really is are they actually. I don't know.
I think they want the title.
The best
I
thing
think
about
it's one
lesbian
of those...
vampire movies is like they just kind of go, you know.
And suspend, I'm like, yeah, a little bit. And I was watching another one that we're not doing on this pod this season, but there was maybe next year. But it was like similar thing where some girls like I've inherited this. I think it's that whole thing of like, oh, you have this great wealth somewhere, and you go there, you're enchanted by it and strangely drawn to it, but you're not sure why, and it's because like. You're part of the hypnosis. Do you know what I mean? No, like you're part of like the reason you've been brought here is not just, you know, not as simple as an inheritance. It's the deeper meaning of the inheritance, right? It's got to get into your soul. Mm-hmm. So one of the girls thinks like takes to it right away and just thinks like, oh my gosh, like this is the bee's knees. And that's Helga. And the other girl, Annika's like, but she kind of looks more like the Baroness. So we're not sure exactly since they were raised together. No one knew exactly whose daughter was who. The women have to figure out, the cult have to basically figure out who's the real girl, who's the real heir.
Peter, meanwhile, also having some fun with Helga. So he's having a grand time. He's like, Julia keeps being like, we need to leave. And he's like, nah, we're fine. We can kind of stay. But their powers are strong, this cult. And the blonde girl, They have a role in the hay,
a literal role in the hay. I was like, I kept saying it like I was Frau Blücher, and you were like young Frankensteining here. But Helga's lured up to the barn, and so we get lots of fun little cut tos. You know, even at the very beginning, they did the old euphemism of the train going, you know, showing up as soon as like. There was a climax moment at the beginning. And so now we get to see like little horses neighing and during key moments of said makeout scene.
Yeah. And Helga gets to, we see Helga, she gets to have fun with Peter and with our blonde girl, Wanda, I think her name is.
Sure. She was really beautiful.
She's really beautiful. And I feel like that actress almost 100% that was her clothes. And she was just like, this is what I dress like. And they were like, please wear that in the movie because you look fantastic. Because that suit, though, man, there's no reason for that character to be that stylish. Nobody else is that stylish in this movie. I mean, they look good, but she was like rocking.
Yeah, and her hair looked perfect, too. She was probably best. I give her best dressed before they undress in this movie. Yeah. She also looked really good undressed, too. So congratulations to her. So there's basically the rest of the movie is a lot of vibes still, but mostly cat and mouse of dealing with Peter, you know, and Julia. And Julia keeps being like, we got to go. This place is bad. But strangely, they can't leave. And Peter doesn't want to leave with her. But the high priestess might know that, hey, / housekeeper, that Julia's got a little bit of a crush on her brother. By a little, I mean a lot. Like they have a very odd relationship. And so it gets a little awkward. So sorry, Julia and Peter.
Yeah, that's not nice. But you know what? You can't help it. At least you get to cross something off of. Anyway, so there's many, many sexy cult scenes involving penis candles with much licking. There, the blonde girl is put in as part of the cult using the big stone thing. And
they have to set Helga's nipples afire. I mean, there's all kinds of moments that are just... that these lines from the film Kids. I mean, I feel like I'm not doing a good job describing it because I'm tongue tied because it's so hot and it's a very sexy movie. But also I feel like you just got to watch it. Just trust us on this one.
I mean, it's such a specific genre, right? Like we've tapped into something so niche that I didn't even realize was there. And I think that's the joy of doing this podcast, right? Is to find something you'd be like, oh, this is a thing. Oh, this rabbit hole goes deep. We could go real far into this. Yeah. Let's do it.
Well, Otto Straddle just had an article on it, which is one of the lesbian publications. So on lesbian vampires specifically. So we are not alone in our obsession and our love for it. So we're getting Helga, you know, masturbating and waiting for the priestess she's like, what is wrong with me? And she's like, the priestess is like, I can help you, but you got to help me help you, basically. And she gives her like a proposition. It's like, hey, basically, if you get Peter's cross off of him, I'll set you free. Like, you will finally have some relief because she's basically just been in heat. Physically walking around as Julia calls her at a certain point as an oversexed harlot, just everywhere, just ready, just constantly. And she's like, not sure why. And it's very deliberately done by the priestess.
Yeah, this is as if you couldn't tell by now, my friends, this is a very pervy movie. This is very pervy. This goes in all sorts of directions. It's not shy. There's a lot of nudity. It goes pretty hard in some places. And I was like, ooh, okay. So Terry, you know, she brings the heat.
It reminded me of Skinamax back in the day.
So Peter gives Helga his cross, which immediately cools her off. But that means that he's in danger. She wants it off. So they take it off, they burn it. And they get it off with the
pole. They don't even touch it. Like the priestess. Yeah. She has to use the tongs to pull it off and throw it in fire. But then I wondered if the cooking garlic, would that have an effect if they could smell it like cooking? I don't know. Anyway, or burning.
I don't know. We find out that the priestesses only mate with descendants of knights of the Baroness. So we have we find out that there's all been planned. There's a reason why Peter's here. So here we are. But you're really pulling from a very small pool of people then, are you not? If it's people who are descended from knights if she's supposed to be a Vlad the Impaler stand in from the 1400s, right? So you're like, oh, it's going to dwindle. It's nice. You got a nice hot young one.
It's a pretty tall order, and good thing he's super hot. It is very like Hereditary, like kind of like moment, you know, of like those, like one of my favorite movies, Julia's favorite too, just kidding. But like, you know, it's that moment of like, oh, you know, it's like, it was inevitable. Like you guys were supposed to be here, and Julia keeps trying to leave like every other scene. And then there are all these day for night scenes, which I love when they're out there at dusk or whatever. And you know, she ends up like going through the woods end up, as soon as they try to leave, like for real, the priestess is like, yeah, you guys are going to be back by nightfall. Don't worry. And without fail, they absolutely are. They cannot seem to get away now that they're in her grasp and nearby.
Can we talk about the random dude who shows up about three quarters of the way through this movie in the priestess's room? Who is that? I was just like, he just showed up. I was like, who's that guy?
At first, I thought it was the guy who was like the footman who like brought, you know, brought Helga there, like from the very beginning. But that's another guy, which he will also be at the final scene later on, like in the big moment. But I was like, oh, I don't know. Maybe he's, they were like, oh, farm boy. Like, I feel like that's just like some random guy from the village that they needed. Yeah, they're like, I mean, she's horny and she needs more. Because they're like saying she was going to be, the Baroness was going to be insatiable when she landed back in the body.
I suppose so. Did I miss a scene? Did they cut a thing? Do we know this guy? We don't know this guy. Okay, that's fine. That's cool. So we find about the night of the vampire, which occurs.
I want more
order than there is, you know?
No. Chaos, Julia. Chaos, baby.
Chaos reigns. So night of the vampire occurs once every 9 years. So now we have Monica, who is in a trance and she's trying to kill Julia, and they want her to stay and join them. They say that she can share Peter with Helga. Everybody's going to be happy. No, what's the problem? Stay here and be part of our cult. Yeah. But she's not into it.
Not at first, but I don't think she has a lot of choice, because as soon as she gets thrown outside in the middle of the ritual, and we know now that Peter has taken off his necklace because he's given it to Helga and he doesn't have the same protection, you know, he's going to get drawn in. And they're like, uh-oh, well, she gets attacked by bats, which is the friends of the of this cult. So they're like, yes, our ancestors, our sisters, our brethren of the night, which I just adore, our brethren of the night, the bats, run and rip her clothes off, which is an insane, wonderful scene of her just being like, oh, all of a sudden I'm naked and I'm running back to the castle. Oops, but I'm so chaste and I still have on my weird garlic cross thing. Hilarious.
Yeah. It's like if you wanted to encapsulate the like vampire genre into like beep, like one little pinhole, you're like, there you go, there it is, beautiful woman attacked by bats, the ripper clothes off, sold,
and she's still trying to be chased, and you're like, girl, just have a little fun now. So she goes directly to her brother and for comfort, of course. But I was like, girl, uh-oh, it's about to get crazy.
Yeah, so now Peter has become hypnotized, and now he is under the spell of Monica, who is the Baroness, who, as we learn, is insatiable. And so he comes hypnotized in and says, title of this episode, I am here, mistress. And they scrump, and she bites him while they are doing it. But then the Baroness could put her, Julia can put her amulet on him to save him. And things are going to get vampy.
Yeah, we get a little, you know, now, if people are upset because Julia's trying to mess their party up, you know, it's not going well. So they have to have a battle as she's trying to leave again, constantly. Like, just like every other scene, I'm like, girl, just hang out at the party. It's okay.
Yeah. What's wrong? You wanted to learn about all this folk for this reason, didn't you? Like, come join it. Sounds all right.
Right. So, or maybe not. So,
So Helga is looking very excited to go to her death, and what a death she's heading towards. I haven't seen something quite like this. Would you care to describe it?
Yeah, it made me feel like all of a sudden they were like in the crucible or something, because they're like getting out to the woods for like a ceremony, you know, and they have this random wooden staircase out there, but not super random because they has a purpose. It's the impaling like center, basically. And so she's going to head up these stairs, and, you know, and it's a fight here to the end, even of like, who will it be? Will Julia be impaled and done, or will, you know, who will go on? So,
but it's not just an impaling stick. It's a very specific kind of impaling stick.
Talk to me about it, Julia.
This is an impaling stick that a lady would sit upon, and basically just impale Terrify yourself very slowly.
Uh-huh. It would be like Terrifier. Yeah. It's like the ultimate.
It'd be like Terrifier.
Mm-hmm.
But upside down. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd never conceived of something like that before. And I was like, oh, well, thanks. Put that in my head, movie. Terrible. I'm sorry that exists in my brain now. See, that's the downside of being a horror movie fan, is that happening. And you're going, oh, I never thought about that. That's terrible.
There are some things, yeah, that I have been enlightened to over these years. But you know what? It's not going to be all for naught, because as you know, as this moment is you know, going to be drawn out, like all of it, as the crowd is like undulating, like all of a sudden we're in midsummer and we're we're all undulating together, and they're like, everyone's like so hot for it and everyone's ready to climax. But because of a certain era and time, you know, we cannot have a happy ending for our lady vamps, because if you're a lesbian vampire, you know what you got to do at the end of your movie? You got to die.
Get staked.
Yep. So sorry. You cannot go on beyond this movie. Which is just devastating.
Yeah. So part of that impaling stick is going to be pulled off and used to stab the Baroness in the heart and kill her. But now everybody else is free because the Baroness is at rest and they don't have to be her slaves anymore.
Yeah, the spell is broken. So basically they've all been under the spell. And so they look relieved, but also I'm like, also not, because it's like they were all like, like, and that's a group climax was about to happen, and it was no go. So it's like that thing of like,
what do they do? What does everybody in this movie do with the rest of their lives?
Like, I wonder what their memory is like of them being, you know, entranced. I don't know if they remember everything. I wonder, you know,
like kind of like, old were they when they got indoctrinated?
Yeah.
How long had they been there?
Yeah.
Like, are they just going to go back to their village? Are the villagers now going to shun them because they work for the Baroness? What about Peter and Julia? Like, this all seems like it's a mess.
I love you thinking about all that. You're so sweet. Like, I did not think too much about them. I was just like, wow, that's bad. But I love your, like, I need to know their lifetime plans. Like, what are they? How are they? What's their, like, what's the rate of recidivism? Like, are they going to be, you know, like, is there another? Is the spirit floating around outside now someplace? Or because it got staked, now it's not floating? Like, you know.
Well, and as we know, as a lover of Renfield, I'm wearing my Renfield shirt today. What happens when Dracula, you know, your Dracula dies and then you're just Renfield left purposeless? What do you do now? You're like, oh, my whole life has been for that person.
You're just looking for another someone to top you then, because you need someone else to tell you what to do. I don't know. Maybe that's what you do. You got to go find another castle, find another king.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So how do you survive vampire ecstasy?
It's pretty hard. I mean, you either got to wear the garlic thing the whole time, which is just not the cutest thing I've ever seen. But it seems to save you.
That's pretty low-fi way to stay alive, though, right? You're just like, all I got to do is wear a necklace?
Too. I was like, considering how powerful they seemed, and like when they're doing their freaking ritual and it literally looks like she's like pulling them forth from like a puppet master, you know, from the ritual, you know, like with her mind, like, I don't know. I would rather just join the cult, though. Honestly, that looked super fun.
Me too.
And they were all really hot. So that's probably why we're like, we'd be bad at surviving this. I want to be hanging out with all of these people.
Why would you want to survive this? But what would they have done to Peter? Would they have just killed Peter immediately?
After Julia did that? No, I think they would have liked to just keep him as a sex slave, right? Are you just talking about for real, or
because the Baroness was insatiable. Yeah. I got it.
Yeah. And then like, yeah, he would be, you know, one of those people who's just like, yeah, I'm on Tuesdays and Thursdays. They just, you know, take my little, she drinks for me then. Yeah. And I just wait for it. You know, like he'd be like on mm-hmm. rotation, I think.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's do some gore factor. Gore factor. 1, not enough blood to fill a Dixie cup. 2, a puddle of blood. 3 is enough blood to gross out the average viewer. 4 is a bathtub of blood. 5 is run for the barf bag. We give this one a 2. A puddle of blood, we get some good vampire biting going on, but it's not a gore fest.
It's not. It's a sex fest. So yay. I hope you all enjoy that. How about some chainsaws, Julia? One, if you're desperate. Two, barely qualifies as a horror film. Three, seen worse, seen better. Four, not too shabby. And five, fantastic-orical. I'm sure you already know, based on how much I've tripped over my words today, because the more excited I am, the crazier our podcast gets. And I give this one a 5. I love this weird movie. It's pretty hot. Enjoy it with some, you know, on a nice night. Set that fireplace on. Turn on a candle. You know, maybe watch it with somebody you want to snuggle with and just, you know, see how far you get in that movie. I don't know. Sure. You're welcome. You're welcome.
I also gave it a 5. It gave me everything I wanted from a lesbian vampire movie and more. So thank you very much for the recommendation. Terry for the win. She's so excited right now.
I am, because that doesn't always happen when I pick a movie. Sometimes Julia's like, oh, I'm like, but this had everything. Like I said, even when I first saw it, I was like, oh my God. Yeah, we have to do this. It's so good. I'm so glad you enjoyed it.
So now you, dear listeners, go forth Terry's recommendation and it will bring you joy just as it brought us joy. And please talk about such joy with us on our Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. You can go to our Patreon if you'd like to support us, or our Teespring if you'd like some merch, or, you know, whatevs.
Yeah, whatever. Or like, you know, just enjoy yourself and just vibe and like, again, just put on some candles, get some candelabras, you know, get a little gauzy cloak and some body paint and enjoy yourself.
True words were never spoken.
Oh my God, have a beautiful week, you guys. Vampire ecstasy.
Devil's plaything.
Thank you for listening. Horror Movie Survival Guide is independently produced by Terry Gamble, Julia Marchesi, and Sierra Ryan. Hey, that's me. If you would like to support the show, find us on patreon.com/horrormoviesurvivalguide.